Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this getaway Friday morning, Friday, June the 26th, 2020. 6/26/2020. 15 minutes coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. I will be with you for the next 5 hours. 5 hours I'll be with you today. So we're going to get really acquainted this morning. But we have a lot to do today, which is a lot of fun. We've got a lot to talk about this morning, and hopefully we'll do that on the open phone lines. But there's been something I've been wanting to do. Now, we're going to do this between 10 and 12 today. I actually meant to do this last Friday, and then I left it at home. But I did bring it in on Monday, but we have not got to it this week. So today, we are going to get to it, I assure you, from 10 to 12. So get ready for this, because it's interesting how the news works in a particular way. Last week, everybody was outraged about Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth and Uncle Ben and the guy on the cream of wheat box. But nobody really seemed to know the history of these things. The news reports we got and the little snippets and the stories on the internet, you know, we kind of got a little bit of the history, but we did not get all of the history. And I think the history of this is important. Whether or not you want to take these people off the boxes, you know, everybody has an opinion on that, and the companies are going to do what they're going to do. As I've said, as long as the pancakes and the syrup still and the rice still taste the same and the cream of wheat, it really doesn't matter to me. But I think one thing we left out in this whole mess was, what is the history? What are the history of these items? So we are going to do that today with trivia. Do it in a fun way. So at least when we make our decisions based upon these items, we're going to know the background of them. We're going to know where they came from. And I bet a lot of people, just like me, have been buying Aunt Jemima, have been buying Uncle Ben, have been buying Mrs. Butterworth, have been buying cream of wheat for year after year after year after year, and we really don't know anything about these people on these boxes. Well, we're going to learn today, because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 trivia questions in regard to those four items: cream of wheat, Uncle Ben, Aunt Jemima, and Mrs. Butterworth. 14 questions, and we're going to do that from 10 to 12 today, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to see how much you know about these items, so stay tuned. We also have fun facts today. Now, I might pepper these in throughout the day. I have 7 pages of fun facts, just little minutia bits of information that I will drop out throughout the morning when I get a lull, which, you know, could happen a lot on this show. We could have a lot of lulls. The interesting thing about this is, as I said yesterday, I have had to go through here and take some of these out. Now, not that they are horrible things to say on the air, you know, fact-wise. They're just a little, I think, well, I don't know that we needed to know all of that. So we had to take a few of these out. But some of them are just basic ideas. And I think a lot of them are interesting. So we'll get to that as the morning goes along, too. And I hope you on the toll-free line today, because yesterday, well, I don't know what went on. Tuesday, Wednesday, we had a drought on the phones. For whatever reason, we just were not getting a lot of phone calls. And that's not fun, because this show, in a lot of ways, is made up of you, the listener. And I like the regular callers, because it's a dialogue. and we're all comfortable with each other, and that's fun. But I also like new callers as well. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that running today on the Getaway Friday, because I love a lot of regulars. Also new people, so we'll see what happens as the morning goes on. And hopefully the topics are wide-ranging enough and interesting enough that it will spark conversation with people out there in the listening audience. Remember, the telephone line to call in is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anything hits you in a way of interest, feel free to call in, because there are some things we're going to talk about today that are somewhat serious, not a whole lot of serious, mostly whimsical stuff and kind of stuff we really haven't talked a whole lot about this week in general. Now, I'm going to start off this morning by telling you about yesterday. I don't have many pet peeves in life, to be honest with you, and there's not many things in life that get my blood pressure up. But one of those things happened yesterday, and I know this has happened to you a lot of times. When I left the station yesterday, I had to go to Meijer, and I had to get a money order for something, you know, as opposed to writing a check or cash, and I had to mail a letter. And as many of you know, you can go to Meijer and mail a letter. So I just had to do these very two quick, simple activities. Now, this is probably, when I got off the air yesterday, it was like 10 o'clock. So let's say this is about 10:30 by the time I get to Meijer yesterday. So I go into Meijer and I think, this will be a very quick trip. It's the COVID age. People aren't going out. I'll be able to go in at 10:30 on a Thursday morning, go up to the service desk, take care of it, get my money order, mail my package out, and everything will be hunky-dory. So I go in, and you know, the doors to Meijer are right next to the service desk. So as soon as you walk in the door, you immediately know what trouble you're getting into. So I walked in, and I looked over to my left, where the service desk was, and I immediately notice that the line is about five people deep. And five people deep during 6 feet apart looks like the Great Wall of China. I mean, I was standing back in the medicine aisle. That's how far you had to stand back because of 6 feet apart and having five people in the aisle. And what annoyed me about this the most, and you know, I'm not criticizing employees because I don't really think it's their fault, but they had one person working the counter. Now, I rationalized to myself at one point. I said, well, maybe they just don't have a lot of people here. It's a Thursday morning, and maybe that's why one person is working the counter, and maybe this is why this is taking so long. So I thought, oh, okay, this is all going to turn out fine. I'll just go along and wait in this line as long as I have to. Well, I saw a lady standing over talking to a customer, and I could clearly tell it was a personal conversation. It was not, you know, anything about help me find this item. It was just a personal conversation. But I thought, well, I even had good spirits at that point. I thought, well, maybe they don't know how to run the service desk. Maybe they don't know how to make money orders. Maybe they don't know how to run the postal machine. Maybe that's what's going on here. So I thought, I was even giving that the benefit of the doubt. Well, that conversation goes on for about 10 minutes. And then, as soon as that conversation is over, we're still five deep in the line at Meijer, at the service desk, because the first lady in line is obviously doing a lot of business. And, you know, she's entitled to that. That's why she's there. And maybe she had to wait five deep when she came in yesterday morning. But the lady who had been having the 10-minute conversation walked over and started running the service desk with the other woman. Now, this made me think, was this the woman's help? Was this supposed to be the woman's help to begin with? And that we were five deep for 10 minutes while she was having this conversation? Wouldn't that have been a good opportunity to excuse and say, oh, wait a second, you know, she's getting really busy over there. Maybe I should go over there and help her. So that irritated me a little bit, I have to say. But it's not one of those things where I went up to the counter and complained or asked for a store manager to complain. I didn't do any of that. I just stood there in the line and thought, I cannot believe this is happening. So we go up, and I finally get up to the place in line where I need to be. And I had addressed the envelope that I needed to send out. And you know the size of an envelope. Well, Meijer has a funny thing because they don't sell single stamps. Now, why this is the system, I don't even know if you can buy single stamps anywhere anymore. Maybe at the post office out on Delaware Avenue. But other than that, I don't even know if you can buy a single stamp anywhere else. So here's the weird thing I learned yesterday. Now, maybe you don't know this already, but I found it out yesterday. If you go into Meijer, now they sell books of stamps. Now, a stamp at this point, it's my understanding, is 50 cents. If you're just sending out a regular letter, a stamp is 50 cents. A book of stamps is $11. You know, you do the math and you figure out how many stamps are in there. Now, you can buy a book of stamps at Meijer, but you cannot buy a single stamp. But you don't have to buy the book of stamps, because here's what you can do. Because Meijer also has a weighing station where they can weigh your package. You know, they can send packages out, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. You know, if you have to pay $3, $4, $5 to mail a package, they can do that. They have the system there to do that. Well, all I'm mailing out is a letter. Just a letter. And normally, a stamp does not take up too much room on a letter. But since you cannot buy single stamps at Meijer, they have to put my letter, which is just a letter that had one piece of paper in it, on the weighing machine, because you can't get a single stamp. So they put my letter on the weighing machine, and now let's go back and recap. A single stamp cost 50 cents. Which apparently is all that would be needed to mail my letter. And I'll get to that in just a second. She puts my letter on the weighing machine, and she comes back. And because it's on the weighing machine, you know, it prints out a label. It's not a stamp. You know, you get that label that the people at the post office scan in and do the whole thing. She prints off this label, and because I just have a little envelope, it's just a regular sized envelope, it covered up like part of the return address. Because the label is so long. So she puts this label on my letter and covers up part of the return address. And then she comes over to charge me for the mailing of this letter. And the first thing she says to me is, she said, you know, you'd be better off to buy a book of stamps because this label is covering up half of the stuff on your letter. And I said, okay, I understand that. And that's my fault for having them put the label on there. I agree with that. That's my fault 100%. Now, here's the problem I have, though. And maybe somebody can tell me what's going on here, because this is where it gets a little hinky. She goes to charge me for mailing this letter. It's 65 cents. Now, the lady has told me moments earlier that my best bet is to buy the book of stamps. Now, the book of stamps just has regular stamps in them, and if you would buy one stamp, it would be 50 cents. Again, they don't sell single stamps there. So she has already told me that mailing what is just a basic letter, basic sized letter, with one piece of paper in it, would have cost me 50 cents had I got the book of stamps. So why is this costing me 65 cents because they put it on the weight machine to mail this letter? Now, 15 cents is not a big deal. And it kind of comes back to the thing I've talked about for so long with McDonald's in the morning and the diet sodas. The 2 cents change or the nickel or whatever they're not giving back to me is not a big deal. But what is wrong with the math at the post office? Shouldn't, even though they put a label on there, shouldn't the letter have cost 50 cents to mail? Why did that letter cost 65 cents to mail? If I had just slapped a stamp on there, apparently the 50-cent stamp would have been fine. So, you know, I think here's what I've deduced from this whole situation. is that there's some scam going on at the post office. Because have you ever wondered, when you do mail a package, where they get that number? I mean, you think it's the weight machine of how much the package is going to cost to send. You think it has to do with the weight and where it's going and what class of mail you're sending it. But I don't know if that's the case anymore. Because have you ever noticed, when you send a package, no two packages are ever the same price, are even ever close in price range? Why is that? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Does anybody have any answer or even deduction about how this could happen or why this happened? Because I really have no idea. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or what is your pet peeve in life? Because that became my pet peeve yesterday. Number one, standing in line waiting when clearly they had another person who could have handled what was going on there. And you know what? I can even understand being like two or three people deep, that maybe you wouldn't send another person up there because the line will move fairly fast. But when you got five people, and I'm the sixth, and you're 6 feet apart, and you're back in the medicine aisle, this is a big deal, in my opinion. This is my version of road rage, something that would drive me nuts. And how do you get 65 cents for the letter that I sent yesterday, as opposed to what a stamp would cost, 50 cents, which apparently I could have used, according to the lady running the counter? So if anybody has any ideas on this, or would like to share a pet peeve that you have in life, please let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 31 and a half minutes past the hour on this getaway Friday morning. Drove me insane. Partially insane yesterday. Just that little event drove me partially insane. Okay, what else do we want to talk about here this morning, aside from that little mess from yesterday? But it wasn't yesterday a nice day weather-wise? You know, we've had these off and on rain days and kind of chilly days, and yesterday wasn't the warmest in the world, but boy, it was nice. The weather was just perfect. Sunny, no rain, great day here in this area. So I enjoyed that quite a bit. Okay. What else is on the agenda? Oh, I wanted to talk a little bit about this because we're a news station, we're an education station, and we try to inform, entertain, educate every morning here. So it's kind of hard not to talk about this. When the COVID-19 coronavirus started, of course we covered it because you have to do that. Well, we are seemingly getting into another place now where this is a bad situation. We're having days now that are record highs, and the record highs before were caused by prison outbreaks, and apparently there are not prison outbreaks going on now to a great degree. So the high numbers of cases that we are getting are actually due to people really getting sick. And now, because I think a lot of seniors are staying in the beginning where it was older people getting sick, the numbers of people getting sick now happen to be younger people. The age group has gone down, and people are getting sick. That's just the way it is right now. And the next 2 weeks are going to be crucial, and hospitals are filling up in certain areas. There are certain states, especially in the South, for some particular reason. I'm not really sure what that is. Maybe early openings could have been that. But there are several states in the South now that are reaching almost maximum capacity in the hospitals, which here's why that's a scary thing. Because we've always heard about coronavirus that A lot of times you can have it and be a carrier and test positive, but not have to go to the hospital. We heard over and over and over again that here in Marion, there were a lot of people testing positive for it, but they were just put on bed rest at home or self-quarantine for 2 weeks. They were not actually going to the hospital. So the fact that the hospitals are now getting over 90, 95, some places 97% capacity is saying that these cases that people are getting are strong enough cases to where you have to be hospitalized. They're not the just the little carrier small symptom cases. So that's a little worrying as we pay attention as time goes on. But here's what I want to say about this whole thing. Nobody wants anybody to get sick. Nobody wants anybody to get sick. But this was bound to happen. When you open back up the businesses, when people start going outside because the weather is warmer, I mean, in all states, in a lot of states, including Ohio, we have opened back up amusement parks. We have opened back up water parks. We have opened back up zoos. We've done this. Those are big, big, big places where a disease that is highly contagious can affect you. And we still really don't know about the masks. We don't know a whole lot about the masks. And what I'm saying in regard to that is, we've heard so many different things about the masks over the last 4 months. I don't know what's true. Because in the beginning, we heard that the masks will not help you. And then we heard that the masks will help you. And then we heard that they will protect you from somebody else, but they will not protect... No, that's wrong. See, I said it backwards. They will protect someone else from you, but it will not protect you from somebody else, which tells you the contagiousness of this disease. That if you're wearing a mask and somebody else is sick, that's not going to stop you from getting sick, which either means that the masks are too thin to stop the virus from getting in your system, or that it's going to enter through some other orifice in your body, and that's how it gets in. It's a viral infection. It's spread through being around somebody who has it. So all I can particularly say at this time is I think people have to continue to go on living their lives. And I will say this, we're going to hear a lot of awful news the next couple weeks. There's no doubt about it in regard to the coronavirus. We're already starting to hear it. Governors are starting to speak again. They're starting to rethink what they're doing, especially in southern states right now. But that will trickle up here eventually. I don't think we'll have a shutdown again, although I am not a fortune teller. I don't think we're going to have a shutdown in this area again because of the economy. I think other states, though, might. It is not shocking to me that another state would have a shutdown. And what I'm worried about is July the 4th. Because July the 4th, a lot of factories and things of that nature have layoffs. And those people are not working. And a lot of those people like to go on vacation. And a lot of those people like to go out. And that puts more people in the grocery stores. It puts more people out in public. It just changes the trajectory of everything. I think so. I don't think it's going to be shocking to see a lot of stories on coronavirus the next few weeks. I don't think it's going to be shocking to see record-breaking numbers on coronavirus the next few weeks. And I hope this doesn't happen, but I don't think it's going to be shocking that we might see record-breaking deaths attributed to coronavirus. But saying all that, you got to live your life. And you have to make the best decision for you. And I liken it to almost any situation you make in life. You know, if you decide to get in a car and you decide to drive on a road, here's the analogy on this whole coronavirus thing as far as I'm concerned. Because this is how I see it happening. If I am on a road at night, and it's pouring down rain, and I go down the road, and my car gets stuck and washed out in a part of the road that is flooded. Okay? I obviously got in trouble and was not paying attention to what was going on. So, if I come back on the road and I tell you, I say, listen, you do not want to go down that road. That road is flooded. You're not going to make it through. No matter if your car's a four-wheel drive or whatever, or sitting way off the ground, you're not going to make it through that flood. It's too big, it's too dangerous, and it's going to cause you problem. Now, there are two things you can do. Now, I have warned you. You have all the facts. Now, you can either disregard the facts. You can because we do have free will. You can disregard what I have to say, and you can go down that road. Nobody's going to stop you. It's a free society. You can go down that road, and you can end up in that sinkhole. Now, there is the off chance maybe you will drive through it. Maybe you won't get stuck in it like I did. Or you have the opportunity to take my advice and turn around on the road and go back where you came from, or maybe try to find a different way to get through that. So I guess what I'm saying is do what you think is best. You cannot let other people tell you what to do when it comes to the coronavirus and how you live your life. But if there are repercussions, just understand that they're repercussions that you chose. Because we've talked a lot about that. Now, there has been a lot of conversation on this show about worrying about the other person. Well, there's that too. I don't know. I just think at this point, with businesses not being shut down and people having access to the information. See, back in March, we did not have great access to the information. This was something we'd never heard about before. We didn't know what was going on. We were getting news dripping in day by day by day. So I can give people a pass on the stuff that happened back in March because we didn't know. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know if we should wear a mask or not. We didn't know if we should travel. We didn't know if we should go outside. We just didn't know. We had to learn. We know now. We're nearly 4 months into this thing. And we know what the situations are. There are websites you can go to now and find out what the count is that day of people infected. You can find out what the percentages are in hospitals. You can find out what people are thinking about masks and body suits and hand sanitizer and all that. So you have to make your decision based upon what you know. Now, whatever decision you make is yours. If there are consequences, you have to suffer them and be ready to suffer them. But that's not to say there will be consequences. There aren't always consequences. You know, I haven't got coronavirus, and I have not stopped working since the situation started. But hopefully, I don't know if that's luck or if that's just being vigilant, and that was my choice. And if I did get sick, I guess my point here is that if I did get sick, I would say, well, I made the choice. If I got sick and died, well, hopefully that doesn't happen. But if I get sick and died, I would have to say, I made that choice. I made the choice to go out and work during the bad stages of coronavirus. I made the choice to do whatever I needed to do. So you make choices every day. And I don't see the point in people, because people are starting to panic. I know there's a lot of anxiety out there, and I'm hearing it from a lot of people. Because it's summertime. This is vacation time. This is amusement park time. This is zoo time. What an awful time for this second wave, which we kept hearing about, to come. It's an awful time for it to come over the 4th of July when we have big holiday stuff going on. But, you know, I don't know. I can't give you advice, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm not going to come on the radio and say cancel your trips or don't go to the amusement park or any of that. I'm not going to say that. If you think it's okay to go right ahead. That's your decision. But just understand before you make that decision that there are consequences. There can be. And if those consequences should happen, gosh forbid, there you are. So, do what you got to do. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to talk to you. Hit me up on the toll-free line here, 740-383-9944. What's your opinion on this? Because maybe my opinion, I am not saying my opinion's right. I'm just hearing from a lot of people that they're getting nervous. And I understand that. I completely understand your nervousness. You know, I can't say I've been nervous at points. You know, when this thing started and I was still coming to the radio station here every day, at one point we did set up a system where I could broadcast from home, because I thought if this turns in, there is going to be a point in the beginning, I thought, when I was hearing the numbers. I thought if this gets bad to where people are getting as sick, if, let me put it to you this way. Here was my deal breaker, and I don't think I've ever brought this up. My deal breaker was, if the hospital here in town got to 90% capacity, which we thought it would at one point, thank goodness it never did, but my deal breaker was, if I heard the hospital got to 90% capacity, I'm not coming into work. Now, that's not to say if I continued to come into work that I would stay well, but the problem is that if I did get sick, even on the off chance that I get sick, and I don't think I would, I'm not going to chance that when I know the hospital's at 90% capacity, and if I did have to go to the hospital, there's a chance I might not get the treatment that I need. I'm not going to put myself in that kind of situation, and I would not put anybody important in my life in that situation, because it's just not worth it. Why do that? Why risk that? It doesn't make any sense. So that was always my deal breaker. Now, thank God here in Marion, our hospital never got to that point. It was my understanding, I don't think we ever got to even 50% capacity in regard to coronavirus. And if that's not the correct numbers, let me know, but I don't think we did. And I don't think the Columbus hospitals ever got to any number close to 90% in regard to coronavirus. So I always thought that if I get sick, I can always go to Marion General. They're going to have a bed for me. And also that if it got bad, I can go to Columbus, because a lot of us like to go to Riverside or OSU, or a lot of us even like to go up to the Cleveland Clinic. They have good ratings. So our hospitals were not overrun. But that was always a deal breaker for me. Even though I'm perfectly healthy and even though I feel great, if a hospital gets to 90% capacity, I have to pay attention. Even though I believe that I'm going to be well, what if, God forbid, I did get sick and they don't have the staff and they don't have the equipment to treat me? I don't want to do that. So I'd rather live. I've got stuff to do. But again, I am not saying cancel your plans. I'm just trying to tell everybody what I think the options are in life. And I'm telling you what are deal breakers for me as a human being. I'm not trying to be a deal breaker for you. I think people should continue to do what they want to do. There are some things going on right now that are once in a lifetime that people don't want to miss. And you know what? Do it. If it's important to you, do it, do it, do it. Don't let fear conquer your life. But be smart about it. Be smart about the fear. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Yes.
I just kind of have an opinion on the whole coronavirus.
Way right in.
I kind of have a unique perspective because my brother just came out of Pickaway Correctional a month ago.
And oh, now, which correctional facility was that?
Pickaway.
Okay, Pickaway. Got you.
And it was that and MCI were one, the two of the worst prisons to be hit. And he got the virus.
Oh, he did?
He watched men die.
Oh.
And 3 months later, he's got still got issues. And I personally, I think he has lifelong damage. So I see what it's done to him, and so I'm still wearing my mask. I mean, we went to a gas station yesterday locally, and none of the employees had masks on. And I thought, oh, my goodness, they come in contact with so many people. Mm. So I think it's important to still be cautious. It's still out there. I see what it does to a person, and it's not pleasant.
Caller, not to get too personal here, but I think this is an important point, and education is really what we're trying to do here, because I don't think people understand that. Because as we're running on the news today, there are still people who think this is a hoax. So,
blows my mind.
Right. So, my question to you is, because I think these are the two most important points that we don't understand right now. Your brother obviously is not somebody who's in ill health. Before this, and
right.
not an elderly person.
Right.
So tell me this. Tell me, okay, what does coronavirus look like? What does it feel like from his perspective? And the lifelong damage part, I think people don't understand that at all. I think this is where they call it flu. They think, okay, I might get it, but I'm going to recover and everything's going to be hunky-dory. So first of all, tell me what coronavirus looks like, and then tell me the things you've observed that you think your brother's going to suffer with the rest of his life.
Well, it's interesting. We both came across an article that said they are showing proof that the virus is a vascular illness, and it makes complete sense with everything that he's experiencing. And the other interesting thing is, you know, businesses check their employees' temperatures as they're coming in. You go to your doctor's office, they check your temperature. He said the men that he knew had the virus, none of them ran fevers, and very few had a cough. So it didn't affect them that way. But he's got very, very strange symptoms. He said it just feels like a poison running through your brain. His body right now is very sensitive to anything he takes. Even a Tylenol will just, he just said it's hard to describe. It feels like a poison running through your body. And he's a jogger. He's always been very health conscious, very thin, you know, no health problems. So he's, you know, on the healthier end of people who have got this. And he's dealing with, can't breathe. He has to lay down flat on his stomach when it gets bad, which does help. It affects certain things that he eats. He can't ingest caffeine of any kind that seems to activate it. And it's just a very, very strange array of symptoms. And it's not pleasant. He has good days and bad days. And so it's, you know, just taking one day at a time. But this is 3 months later.
Mm.
So it's a little scary. You know, I just wish people could see what I see and be a little bit more cautious.
Well, this is the problem I think people are having, and this is why I'm giving my little speech here this morning, without trying to tell people what to do, because the last thing I want to do is tell somebody what to do. But I think that if you have not seen it in your family, if you have not seen it in your friend group, and you don't understand these long-term I think you might suspect that it's flu. I think you might suspect that that's what it looks like, and that you get over it in 2 weeks. Because we talk about this self-quarantine now, and I think people believe that in 2 weeks it's over if you have it, and then your life is hunky-dory, and you're back out in the park the next day.
Yes,
and
most
that's,
definitely not.
And it's not. And I wish people could understand the severity of it. Now, are the majority of the people in the United States going to get it? At this point, I still don't think that's going to happen, but who knows with the numbers going up. I just wish people understood.
I get the whole summer thing, you know, people wanting to get out and enjoy life, but from my perspective, it's a small sacrifice to kind of just lay low for a summer. Is it worth possibly losing someone that you love, you know, to go to the beach and have a fun weekend? So I think we have to think about sacrifices and, you know, we can do all those fun things. Next summer, let's just do stay low and, you know, not be around a lot of people this summer. But it's frustrating to see.
Well, what makes me sad is it's very clear that we are not going to have a vaccine this year. If we do, it's going to be a miracle, and I just don't see that right now.
Yep.
So that being said, people, right now, we're in the month of July, next week. We've got 6 months left this year. We're going to have holidays. We're going to have a presidential election. We're going to have these things, and they're all going to happen, and we're going to treat them how we're going to treat them. But we've got to understand that 2020 is not going to be the year of the coronavirus vaccine. So you have to make your plans according. You can't say, well, I'm going to put this off 2 months. I hear a lot of people now saying, well, you know, it may ruin my summer plans, but, you know, in the fall I can do this. Well, it's not going to be all that different in the fall.
Right.
And I just, may I ask how old your brother is?
He's 47.
Okay, 47, an otherwise healthy guy at 47 years of age, and you've told us what kind of damage it has done and possibly damage that he will live the rest of his life with. I just don't know. You know,
is it worth it?
Well, see, that's the thing. You can get in a car, and you can drive 100 miles an hour down the freeway, and guess what? You might not get in an accident, but you also might. So
But with that analogy, you're only putting yourself at risk. You know, by us going out and socializing, you're putting others at risk. To me, it's a bit selfish. I don't tell people what to do. This is just my own personal opinion. You do what you feel, you know, is right for you. But I just think for the rest of this year, until a vaccine is found, we really need to be more cautious.
Well, and that's how I kind of feel about it, too. I cannot tell anybody to cancel what they're going to do. I can't tell anybody how to live their life. But I just want people to understand this is the disease. This is where we are in the disease. And God forbid, I don't want you to get sick, and I don't want anybody in your family to get sick. But if you make these decisions, and it does happen, you really got to look in the mirror as to why it happened.
Yes.
And that's it. If you can do that, if you're willing to do that, then okay. But I think what you did this morning is a great service, because I don't think we understand what the disease is. I think we think it's like chicken pox or something. And it's not. And that's, so he has trouble eating certain food. Is it just like harder foods, bigger foods?
He hasn't really been able to pinpoint it. You know the little flavor packets that you put in a bottle of water?
Really?
That affected him. But yet, the next day, he tried a different flavor, and that didn't affect him. So it's just, there seems to be no rhyme or reason to it. And caffeine, he can't even take a Tylenol or an ibuprofen. So there's nothing that he can take to help with any of these symptoms. He's got an inhaler that he uses, but he said even that affects his body. It's almost like his body recognizes these things and wants to attack. Or maybe it's his immune system going into overreaction mode. I don't know, but it's very, very strange.
Now,
not pleasant at all.
Did he have anything like inhalers or anything before he got this?
No, never. He's always been a jogger, always, you know, very fit. Never had any of those issues.
And you say getting the illness, there were not a lot of fevers or anything.
No. The guys in the prison, very few of them ran a fever. And very few had cough. He never had a cough. He still doesn't have a cough. It's just he feels a heaviness in his chest where it's hard to breathe. And we had come across an article where it said COVID patients, if they lay flat on their stomach, it does help them breathe. And for whatever reason, it does help. But it's, you know, to see someone so healthy and a jogger and a runner and always ate healthy, to see him like this, and, you know, he's wanting to get out and work, and he's not even able to even think about looking for a job right now. So it's very, very real, and it's scary, and thank God he was one of the lucky ones to have lived, but he watched other men die, and it's not a pleasant death.
It is a respiratory illness. We have to understand that, and that's not good. A respiratory illness is not pleasant at all. Now, final question on this: and this is a hard question to ask, but obviously his quality of life was very good before this, health wise. What would you say his quality of life is now?
Oh gosh, I mean, he kind of has to limit where he goes. He self-quarantines for the most part, but when he does go out, he wears two masks at a time. We carry hand sanitizer with us. He obviously can't go out and do things with friends. He's worried about, even though he's not positive anymore, he's still worried about, there's so much unknown to this virus. You know, he's worried about infecting us or anybody else, so he's very, very cautious. Mm. And it's not, I mean, not a great quality of life right now. He's just kind of stuck in this mode.
Well,
I don't know if it's going to get better with time. It's been 3 months already. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but it's scary.
Well, I appreciate that so much, you calling in and bringing this up, because I think it's important that we know that when people make their decisions, they know firsthand, because this is what a lot of us don't have. We don't have firsthand knowledge of that, and we don't have firsthand knowledge. I certainly thank you for calling. I wish your brother the best. If he ever feels up to calling in and describing what he's going through, we would love to hear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So,
yes, I'm sure he would.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime he would like to, just have him call in, and we will clear the time, because that's one of the things we want to do. We want to let people know their options. Again, if you want to drive down that street where the road is washed out, that's your business. But at least know about the road being washed out.
Yep, so, know the risk.
Yeah, thank you for calling so much.
You're welcome, thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to break, we'll be right back.
In the middle of the town, I don't want to sing anymore, but you pay me.
I love it, Five-ish. WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.gh1071.com.